Hi, it's Jeff Farley at the Otisville Mount Hope Presbyterian Church on our weekly podcast, Today's Word. We're looking at the last sermon in a series across the summer about Joseph, the son of Jacob. Today we're talking about Joseph and deliverance from Genesis 45, 1 to 15. Since Joseph could no longer control his feelings in front of his servants, he sent them out of the room. When he was alone with his brothers, he told them, "I am Joseph." Then he cried so loudly that the Egyptians heard him and told about it in the king's palace. Joseph asked his brothers if his father were still alive, but they were too frightened to answer. Joseph told them to come close to him. And when they did, he said, "Yes, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. Don't worry or blame yourselves for what you did. God is the one who sent me ahead of you to save lives. There's already been a famine for 2 years, and for five more years, no one will plow fields or harvest grain. But God sent me on ahead of you to keep your families alive and to save you in this wonderful way. After all, you weren't really the ones who sent me here. It was God. He made me the highest official in the king's court and placed me all over Egypt. Now hurry back and tell my father that his son Joseph says, 'God has made me ruler of Egypt. Come here as quickly as you can. You will live near me in the region of Goshen with your children and grandchildren, as well as with your sheep, goats, cattle, and everything else you own. I will take care of you there during the next 5 years of famine. But if you don't come, you and your family and your animals will starve to death. All of you, including my brother Benjamin, can tell by what I have said that I am really Joseph. Tell my father about my great power here in Egypt and about everything you have seen. Hurry and bring him here.' Joseph and Benjamin hugged each other and started crying. Joseph was still crying as he kissed each of his other brothers. After this, they started talking with Joseph." So, have you ever been in a place where you weren't sure you fit in, that you belonged? Many years ago, when Sue and I hadn't been here in Otisville very long, I was asked to preside at a wedding of a community person. The family was church connected, and I suspect the bride had probably been to Sunday school, but for the most part weren't really Sunday morning folks. I did the wedding, and then since we had been asked to stay for the reception, we did, something now we would only do if we knew the family well. And since we weren't known by the bride or her family, we were sat at a table with some very lovely people who were complete strangers. In fact, we knew only a handful of people in the whole room, and most of them not very well. So we spent the afternoon talking to each other. Good conversation, but overall, a very awkward afternoon. And I know you have all been there. In a situation where you really weren't sure you fit in, and even if you wanted to, not sure where to begin the process of fitting in. And if you happen to be an introvert, oh my, a living death. Of course, there's been a lot of that meeting of new people this past week because school has started. New kids on the bus and maybe a new bus driver, new kids in the class, a new teacher, and new parents you've not met yet. You all have something in common, kids in the same classroom, but... And then there is fall football, cheerleading, soccer, lacrosse, and who knows what else, all with new people to meet, and in some cases, new reasons to feel awkward. For extroverts, or folks good at small talk, maybe you could have turned that wedding or that first meeting with other parents or having to sit with someone new on the bus into an opportunity to meet new people. A couple of weeks ago, Noah was at the house and he had taken a nap, and when he woke up, he was crabby. When this happens, our usual go-to thing is two things, actually. One is get him a snack. I have no idea whether his blood sugar is low, but when he's like that, I feel like mine is low, so we go get a snack. The other choice is a distraction. Let's not focus on being unhappily partly awake and crabby. Let's instead focus on an after-nap adventure. In this case, a walk to the Otisville Veterans Memorial Park down the street where there are swings and a big toy with slides. So I say to Noah, "Hey, Noah, you want to go and do the park and swing on the swings?" While he's eating a nice big chunk of dried mango. And it works, and off we go. We grab a ball so we can play at the park, and then Noah announces, I'm going to make a friend. Just like that. You go to the park, you see another kid, and you make a friend. For some of us, it's not that easy, but for Noah, it is the reason to go to the park, or one of the reasons. Meet someone and make a friend. Assume that others will be open to new relationships. However, for the 11 brothers, the sons of Jacob, it did not look at all like that was going to be the outcome. I mean, remember, they had no idea this was Joseph. It was going to be bad, whatever happened. They could feel it, and the tension was astronomical. You see, the silver cup, the one the right hand of Pharaoh used, Joseph, we know, from which he drank and from which he also did divination, according to his servant, what's that all about, had been found in Benjamin's grain sack. And now with all 11 brothers standing before him, awaiting sentencing as slaves, it seemed like making friends was an impossibility. These brothers, the 10 excluding Benjamin, had done Joseph wrong. He had every reason to continue to make them suffer for what they had put him through. But now, in an amazing display of grace, in what is another example of the Old Testament's prefiguring of the work of Jesus, Joseph decides not only to forgive his brothers, but to accept them back into a dynamic, caring relationship, to make friends. In an instant, while Joseph cries and then kisses each one and hugs them, they go from outside the circle to inside. They get to see how the radical love of God works in the decision by Joseph to pull them close and forgive them. It is exactly what Jesus demonstrates in his sacrificial loving of those who condemned him and abandoned him and in the end crucified him. Love each other as I have loved you, he tells his disciples. And Joseph, son of Jacob, we see it in action. Love others not because they have done you right, but love them even if they have done you wrong. Not because they're worthy, but because that is what the disciples of Jesus do. We love our neighbors. We even love our enemies, even when they're idiots, even if they're different from us. Not because of them, but because we have been loved and know that God's love can change even the most unfixable people. It has been quite a journey, and we have learned much. May God bless you as you continue to think about this story and these lessons. Amen. That brings us to the end of the story of Joseph, the son of Jacob. Thanks so much for joining us over these weeks. We look forward to seeing you in the weeks ahead.